Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the professions right after this. You know, marriage is a state-licensed business. Marriage is a three-party, limited general partnership between you, your spouse, and the state. And like any other state-licensed enterprise, it is regulated by the Welfare Department, the Department of Family Services, and the Family Court. And the best part about it all is that you have absolutely no input into or say-so over the marriage, divorce, dissolution, custody, alimony, child support, protective custody, or restraining orders. But you do get to pay for all of it. And if you fail to pay, you go to jail. Now, marriage is the most important and the most expensive contract that you can engage in. It's more binding and it's more costly than your military enlistment or 30-year home mortgage. And you probably know a whole lot less about it than you do about your military obligation or your house payments. Now, two-thirds of all marriages in America end in divorce. But whether you're a husband or wife, you do have rights, privileges, and immunities to advance, to protect, or to defend against any breach of this marriage contract. That's why I contend that you ought to know and understand the terms of your marriage contract before you marry, and you ought to be the one writing that contract instead of letting the state write it for you. So whether you're married or not, why don't you write from my free general law CD package and let me share some vital information with you about the law and this marriage contract. To order yours, just call direct. The number is 417-273-4967. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School, by the way. And if you're online, you can go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. That's easy enough to remember, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send an email request for that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. When we talk about professions and professionals, everybody wants to be one. Well, it's what we're taught in school. I remember when I was in high school, they sent a recruiter down from Humboldt State College, and he gave us a talk about how to get into Humboldt State College, as if everyone should leave high school and go to college. I was never taught, nobody ever suggested, that I go into a common law occupation. We had the military recruiters come by, all four of them, the Coast Guard, the Air Force, the Army, and the Navy. They all came into the high school in our senior year and suggested that we join the military for all of the benefits that the government gives for military service. Nobody ever comes around and says, gee, why don't you go into the trades? Why don't you become a machinist, a carpenter, a plumber, an electrician? I never saw that happen when I was a youngster, and I haven't heard of it happening. But there was a time in America when men took their boys and they took them out and taught them to be farmers or machinists or welders or some kind of a craftsman, a tradesman. He might be a blacksmith, would train his son to be a blacksmith. A wheelwright would train his child to be a wheelwright. We used to do that in America. In fact, that was the system around the world. But around 1900, a new philosophy began to overtake America and Americans, and it was called the professional. Instead of becoming a wheelwright, why not become a doctor, a lawyer? Why not become a minister? Why not become a licensed professional, a dentist, or maybe a paleontologist, or a microbiologist, or a scientist, or something like that? And of course, the idea caught on, because in the profession, since there were so few professionals, the professionals enjoyed a higher pay scale. Doctors earned more than machinists, and dentists, and paleontologists, and teachers, and professors, because they were in short supply, earned higher wages or higher salaries than did those in the trades and professions. So, naturally, immigrants coming to the United States would aspire to sending their children to law school or medical school so that those children would have a leg up in the next generation so that they would earn higher salaries and become more important people in the society. How does that work out over a long period of time, and what ultimately happens to a society that would move from the professions, or excuse me, from the trades and from the common occupations to the professions? What would ultimately happen if everybody in America became a professional? Has anybody ever thought of that? More and more people are becoming professionals, and higher percentages of our population are going into the professions. And one particular ethnic group, the Jews in America, the Jewish people, have the highest percentage of anyone in the professions. And that's 70%. That's right. They only represent 5 million people in the nation, but they represent 70% of their entire ethnic group of their population go to college and graduate from college. Only 30% do not. That's phenomenal. And there's an outcome that comes from that. And of course, everybody wants to participate in a beneficial outcome. You'll notice around the world, people around the world are becoming more and more professional. For instance, in India, after their independence in 1947, the Indian government set up colleges for the express purpose of training Indians to become the professionals of India, rather than depending upon outsiders from Great Britain or the United States or from other countries in the world to hold those positions. Today, you'll find Indian professionals all over America. They come here to the United States to practice the professions. And you'll find nurses coming into the United States from the Philippines working for $15 an hour in our hospitals instead of $30 an hour for domestic, that is, American-trained nurses. That's another phenomenon that we see. Then we see the outsourcing of American jobs to India and Pakistan and all over the world. What does all of that portend for the future? Well, I'm one of those that is not a professional. I entered into the trades when I was a youngster, and I have three. My old Uncle Buster told me, he said, there's one thing that you want to strive for, and that's to become a tradesman, so that you've got a skill that's always marketable. Whether it's a carpenter, plumber, electrician, or whatever it might be, you want to get into one of those trades. So I took on three, mastered three, and it's worked well for me throughout my life, but I'm called a blue-collar worker. Blue collar. I lack the prestige of having letters behind my name. I don't have, you know, Dr. George Gordon. Or I don't have George Gordon, or Professor Gordon, or some other title. Some other handle that you could hang on me. So I lack that prestige. I also lack the ability to get a job. For instance, I can be a law teacher, but I can't get a job at the University of Missouri Law School because you've got to have a degree. Unlike times past when you could become successful in business like Henry Ford, who only had a sixth grade education, or you could become a famous inventor like Thomas Edison with only a third grade education, or you could become a successful foreman or boss like my granddad, who was the mill superintendent at the Harold Castile Lumber Company in Willits, California. And he only went to the sixth grade. Pretty successful guy, you know, in his era and in his realm. But today, to become a success in America, it's widely touted that you must become a professional. You've got to have a degree from college. And millions of children in America are going to our colleges and universities. And so I thought, well, gee, ultimately, if we carry this out to its ultimate conclusion, and the percentage continually goes up every year, and college recruitment goes up every year, and the schools, the high schools, encourage more and more students to go to college every year, and we're taught and trained from childhood that if you don't go to college, you're going to be a failure, you will not be a success in life, that then the ultimate end to this entire recruitment program will be to turn every American into a professional. And I wondered aloud, what's going to happen when everybody in America becomes lawyers, preachers, bankers, doctors, corporate businessmen, psychiatrists, psychologists, engineers, professors, and high school and grade school teachers and social workers and administrators and criminologists and so on? When we go into all of the professions and everybody becomes a professional, then of course it leaves open the question of who's going to haul the garbage, who's going to farm and produce the food, who are going to be the housewives and mothers of America, or the electricians, the midwives, the carpenters, truck drivers, the locomotive engineers, the brakemen, the mechanics, the bricklayers, loggers, lumberjacks, and taxi drivers. Who's going to do the work? I suppose the solution to that is to bring Mexicans in from Mexico, who in turn will do all of the menial work in America. I suppose foreigners, immigrants will come from Turkey, Pakistan, India, Mexico, South America. And then I wondered, well, what's going to happen when the millions upon millions of Mexicans, Colombians, Venezuelans, Guatemalans, El Salvadorians, and so on, come to America and become the garbage men and the farmers and electricians and midwives and carpenters, do all of the common law occupations? Won't they also be voting? And with all of these millions of immigrants and all speaking Spanish and so on, what would happen to our political institutions in America when the majority of Americans become foreign? Has anybody ever thought of that? Well, somebody comes along and says to me, well, America's made up of immigrants. Well, in 1960, that was true, just as it is today. But that majority of immigrants in 1960 was 90% white and 10% all others. Yes, America was made up of immigrants that came from Denmark and England and Scotland and Ireland and Germany and France and came from Europe, 90% of us. Today, the numbers have changed very significantly. 32% are all others, 68% are white. By the year 2050, it'll be 50-50. In California and Texas, it's already 50-50. 50% white, 50% all others. And by 2050, now this is 45 years from now, America is going to be 50% white and 50% all others. What do you think the political climate of America is going to be like about 2050? And by the year 2100, that's 95 years from now, America will be 38% white and 62% all others. What do you think the political makeup of the United States is going to be long before the year 2100? So I thought we ought to take a look at this question of the professions. Is it really necessary to become a professional to make money? And if you became a professional, would you be a useful, productive citizen in society, or would you become a pariah and a parasite? A pariah and a parasite? Do you think that the professional people of America today, numbering in their millions, would look upon themselves as being parasites? Well, let's look at it. You know, every common law occupation is a productive enterprise for the benefit of some individual, society, or both. Now, every one of us is a consumer, whether you're a doctor or a dentist or you're a truck driver or a farmer. Everyone is a consumer. But not everyone is a producer. Not everyone produces. Now, production must exceed consumption or shortages will occur. Now, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. That in the long run, over the long haul, we have to produce more than we consume. Now, America today does not produce more than it consumes. We produce much less than we consume, and we make up the shortfall by importing what we need from other countries. Now, America in 1950 was a net producer. For instance, in the 15 leading economic indicators of industrial production in 1950, America was number one in all 15 of those leading economic indices. For instance, in 1950, we Americans produced 100 million tons of steel. 100 million tons of steel. That was the first year we did that. 100 million tons. All the rest of the world combined produced 27 million tons. 27 million. They didn't even produce one-third. That is, every country in the world producing all the steel that they could produce couldn't produce one-third of what we Americans did. Today, America is no longer number one in steel production. And we also produce more automobiles than anybody else in the world. In 1950, 3.5 million here in the United States. All the rest of the world combined, 5 years after World War II, 750,000. America produced far more automobiles and consumed far more than all the rest of the nations of the world combined. The same thing was true of aluminum production and aircraft production and aluminum and copper, and you just name it, and we were number one. Today, we're no longer number one in any of those 15 leading economic indicators. In 1950, we were the world's number one lending nation. Today, we're the world's number one borrowing nation. Things have changed over the last 50 years here in America. And, of course, the number of professionals has continually risen during that same 50 years. Is there a connecting link? Has anybody ever thought about it? Well, I'm an old-timey beekeeper, and I made an observation concerning bees, and I noticed that bees are very careful to keep their society in balance. A good, healthy bee colony, that is a box, we call it a hive, with two supers on it, has 50,000 bees in there. There's only one queen, and 49,999 other bees. And of those 49,999 other bees, there's about 35 or 40 drones. Drones, those are male bees. Beehives are made up of all females, but they've got to have a few males in there to breed with the queen in order to produce new queens, in order to split off and make new nooks or new hives, new bee colonies. So it's just wise and prudent to keep a few males around, but you'll notice that they only keep a few. They don't keep thousands, tens of thousands, they just keep 30 or 40. And then there's another special type of bee called the guard bee. He's a little bigger than the ordinary bees, and that's all he does in life is guard, kind of like a soldier here in America. That's all he does is protect the hive against robber bees and other critters that might try to invade the hive and cause it some harm, kind of like a policeman. Yeah, you have to have those. Now, he doesn't produce any honey. It's a female, and she doesn't produce any honey. All she does is go out and sting people to death, give her life in defense of the colony. The drones don't produce any honey either. And as we take a look at the queen, she produces no honey, no food, no fiber. She does a very important job in the hive, as do the drones, as do the guards, as do the water carriers. There are certain functions that certain bees are created by the queen. She doesn't create thousands of guards, she just creates about 300. She doesn't create thousands of water carriers, she just creates about 1,000 water carriers. And that's all they do, is they go out and get water and bring it into the hive. Most of the bees are worker bees, and they go out and they bring in pollen. They go out and they bring in nectar. They make honey. They make propolis. They make the food and the fiber and keep up the hive that the hive needs to survive. They are the common law, what we would call today common law occupations. And as a result of that, the hive thrives. Now, it takes about 5 bees to support one drone. So if you're going to keep 40 drones in the hive, then you have to have 200 worker bees that are out there working hard, making honey, propolis, and nectar. And they do that to support those 30 or 40 drone bees. They produce enough for themselves and about 20% extra to support those drones. What would happen if the hive became, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% drones? See, if those drones were allowed to multiply and you got in there more than 20% drones, if just 20% of the bees in the hive were drones, it would take all of the productive capacity of the hive to feed themselves and the drones. That's all that they would be able to do. And the minute they got to 21%, the hive would die. Because the drones, along with the bees, would consume more honey. They would run out of honey before the end of winter, and they would all starve to death. That's why it's so important that there be producers, and that the producers be in greater abundance than the consumers, and that the producers produce more and consume less than they produce. If they do that, you'll have a thriving beehive that will survive and multiply and go on from year to year. And the minute that the robber bees come into the hive because there aren't enough guards and they rob the beehive of its honey, or the drones or the water terriers or the queen dies, something comes into the hive to disrupt it. The ultimate end is destruction, death. So keep that in mind as we progress along, boys and girls, because every common law occupation is a productive enterprise. Common law occupations are productive enterprises, every one of them. Every profession is a consumptive enterprise. Yes, doctors and lawyers consume nectar and honey just like all of us workers in the hive. But doctors and lawyers don't produce any honey. In fact, as we get into these professions, I'm going to ask the question, can you tell me how much honey, how much useful, productive enterprise comes out of each one of these professions? Can you just tell me? In fact, if America becomes a nation of too many professionals, it will implode and it will die. Now, you have to have a few of them. It's true. You have to have a few soldiers, because if you didn't, foreigners would come in here and destroy our hive and steal all of our honey. It's true. You have to have a few guard bees. You've got to have a few of the opposite sex, because if everybody becomes a homosexual for the sheer pleasure and hedonistic desires that come from it, ultimately, without breeders, and ultimately without a queen, the hive will die because of a lack of production. Americans have been sold on the idea that we need birth control, that we don't want more and more population. We want less and less population. But what that's worked out to be is that we have less and less white population and a growing number of all others. Well, how's that going to work out in the long run, especially for all of those workers in the hive? If you get too many drones, guards, water carriers, and not enough production, you don't have enough in the way of a queen. Don't have enough breeders. Well, just remember that every profession now is a consumptive enterprise, and all wealth comes out of the ground. All wealth comes out of the ground. And every profession is a non-productive enterprise. Professions produce nothing and consume much. And every profession is a criminal activity, as evidenced by the fact that every profession is licensed. And there are some colleges that actually turn out useful, productive citizens in vocational common law occupations. So there is actually some use for colleges turning out worker bees to go out into the society and produce things in our society that we actually need, use, and consume. Salesmen, waitresses, clerks, maids, field hands, milkers, painters, weavers, tailors, machinists, secretaries, bookkeepers, printers, fishermen, oil drillers, refiners, merchant mariners and deckhands and millers and mill workers, you know, all of those occupations are necessary and imperative if you're going to have a vibrant, productive society. If you want to be able to go down to the gas station and fill up your car with gas, somebody had to go out and drill a hole in the ground and find oil. Somebody had to take the oil and move it to a refinery and turn it into gasoline. Somebody had to load it into a truck, and some truck driver had to drive that gasoline to the gas station and offload it into a tank so that somebody at the gas station could then sell us the gasoline so that we could move our automobiles. Those are productive enterprises. What do doctors, dentists, and lawyers produce? Well, all professions are licensed by government, and a license, by definition, is permission to do something that's illegal, unlawful, a tort, or a trespass. Now, every one of these professions, then, licensed by government, is there as a consumptive enterprise which violates one or more of the laws of God. That's why they have to be licensed. See, a farmer is a God-given common law occupation. God said plainly that he was looking for a man to till the ground. That's why he created Adam. Now, of course, Adam woke up one day and he says, hell no, I won't go. I'm not going to till the ground and be a farmer. I'm going to go to the city and I'm going to become a professional, and I will not eat my bread by the sweat on my face. I'm going to eat my bread down in the company cafeteria in air-conditioned luxury. And after all, if you go out into the lettuce fields and pick lettuce and tomatoes and you work in the field, you're going to sweat. And that's just the way it is. Americans don't want to do that, do we? Now, all licensed professionals are criminals by definition, and all licensed professionals and professions are criminal activities. Do we really need crime? Do we really need to send people to college to train them in criminal activities to violate the laws of God? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, we do. Yeah, think about it for a minute. You know, let's suppose that you want to go out and eat pig, fat, blood, and shellfish. Well, you know, when you eat fat, it plugs up your arteries. And when you plug up your arteries, you have cardiovascular disease. This cardiovascular disease requires somebody that can root it out. It's either that or you die. So the doctor is a very valuable fellow in our society if, in fact, we're going to violate the health laws. So as we violate more and more health laws, you know, the more sugar that we drink, the more sugar we consume, I should say, in our drinks like Coca-Cola. Over the past 20 years, Coca-Cola and soft drink consumption has gone up by 100%, and diabetes has gone up by a like percentage, doubled, 100%. Well, gosh, you got to have more and more doctors to diagnose more and more disease so that you can have more and more drugs to counteract the effects of the drugs that you're taking and consuming in your foods. So I raise the question, why do we want to violate these health laws that God gave us so that we can then train more doctors to give us more drugs to counteract the drugs that gave us the diseases to start with? You know, 100 years ago, we didn't have near as many doctors as we have today, and we didn't have near as much cancer, and we didn't have near as much diabetes. And as you look through the statistics over the last 100 years, we find that the more policemen we have, the more crime we get. The more doctors we have, the more disease we get. Is there a correlation between these professions and the results that we get from these professions? You ever thought about that? Well, hang on a second. We'll be back and we'll give you a message or two, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little more about these professions. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page at the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School direct. The area code 417, the number 273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this network or radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the professions. The professions, criminal activities. All licensed professions violate one or more of the Ten Commandments, statutes, or judgments of God. Every profession violates one or more of the Ten Commandments. Every profession violates one or more of the statutes, judgments, or commandments that God gave us at Mount Sinai. Some common law occupations have now been converted into licensed occupations. You know, for years and years, in fact, over the last 6,000 years of mankind's experience, we've been dying and we need morticians. We need people to bury our dead. We need body bags and coffin makers. And those occupations, used to be common law occupations, have now been converted into professions. You know, you can't run around here operating a mortuary unless you become a professional. You have to have a college degree to do that. It wasn't traditional, but as more and more people become licensed, if you'll stop and think about it, if everybody has to have a license granted by the state, there would be absolutely no freedom left. You couldn't earn a living. You couldn't make your way in life unless you had a license, could you? And you know there's a time coming, described in Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, that talks about a time that you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. A mark that you carry in your hand and in your forehead, whether it's a social security number or a license, a profession, a degree, there is coming a time. And God himself told us. Now, no profession can be done in private business. Today, we have private business and we have public business. All of the professions are public, but not all of the occupations are private. Some of them have been converted now into public business. So always remember that professions cannot be done in private business. All common law occupations can be done in private business, at least in theory. Some of them, though, have been converted. And we'll talk about some of these conversions. But ordinarily, we should be able to go out and buy, sell, and trade and work and do common law occupations with one another and do so freely and uninterrupted by government, uninterrupted by anybody else, protected by the Ten Commandments, like thou shalt not steal and you shall do no murder. In fact, thou shalt not steal is the basic foundation to all private property. In fact, without thou shalt not steal, there can be no private property. Now, all of the professions are done in public business. Common law occupations that have been converted into the professions are such occupations as soldier, herbalist, nutritionist, naturopaths, chiropractors, engineers, small businessmen, contractors, morticians. Those are some of the common law occupations that we used to enjoy in times past that have now been converted into professions. And as a result of that, we've lost our freedoms. We've lost our ability to use those vehicles to make our livings. And if we continue on in this process, there will come a time when no man will be able to buy, sell, or trade. No man will be able to make a living unless he first submits to the controls. Well, controls, wouldn't that amount to slavery or at least bond servitude if we didn't have any choices? Now let's take a look at some of the common law occupations. I mentioned a few of them earlier, but a garbage man is a common law occupation. He's a very needed fellow in our society. He hauls away our waste, and we look upon him as being something less than human. Why, he's just a garbage man. Why don't we try living without garbage men for 30 days and see how we like it? I say that every garbage man is a very necessary and needed soldier in the workplace. How about farmers? You know, I would contend that farmers are probably more important to us than garbage men, at least for most of us, because most of us cannot grow a seed, do not know how to milk a cow, do not know how to produce food. We rely upon farmers to produce the food and the truck drivers and the others that are in the distribution system to make that food into something that we can eat, like cornflakes and bottles of milk and maybe a little sugar to put on top of it. We need people like electricians, and we need housewives and midwives and carpenters, truck drivers, and the locomotive engineer and the brakeman and the mechanics to fix our automobiles and bricklayers and loggers and lumberjacks. Where would we be in our society if we didn't have loggers and lumberjacks to make lumber for us to build houses? We're living today, as I speak, in a real estate bubble, and people are just buying houses and bidding up the prices of real estate, and they're selling houses and buying houses and so on. Well, where would we get the houses to buy and sell in our real estate bubble if we didn't have loggers and lumberjacks and carpenters, plumbers, and electricians to build those houses for us to buy and sell? I know all of you real estate brokers out there are licensed professionals, but aren't we kind of dependent upon the carpenters, plumbers, and electricians and the loggers and the lumberjacks to build those houses for us so that we'll have something to go to the office to sell? Put another way, if there weren't any loggers and lumberjacks, if there weren't any carpenters, plumbers, and electricians, where would we get the houses that we would be buying, selling, and trading in the real estate market? It's my contention that we could buy, sell, and trade houses without real estate brokers, but real estate brokers could not buy, sell, and trade houses without loggers, lumberjacks, carpenters, plumbers, and electricians. You know, the beehive could get along quite nicely with 40,000 worker bees, and could live quite a long time without any drones, without any water carrier. Oh yeah, they're necessary, but you know, even the workers could carry water, even the workers can sting, even the workers can defend. And oftentimes they do. The hive can even survive without a queen, because the workers can make a new queen. But you know, when you get into a circumstance like America is today, where you have so many drones, do you know that 51% of Americans now derive some portion of their income from the government? They receive a government check. 51% now. Well, that doesn't mean that 51% are non-producers, but it means that 51% are now consuming off of the 49% that don't get anything from the government. So 49% of us are producers, 51% of us are producing something, and all of us are consuming. In fact, we Americans are now consuming about $650 billion a year more than we produce just in imports alone, just importing from China and Japan and from other countries around the world. Now, look at all of these common law occupations. We have common law occupations like taxi drivers and salesmen, waitresses and clerks and maids and field hands, milkers and painters and weavers and tailors, machinists and secretaries and bookkeepers, printers and fishermen, refinery workers, refiners, oil drillers, steel workers, fitters, boiler makers, welders, ranch hands, farm hands, ranchers, mill workers, millers, deck hands, merchant mariners and bus drivers and factory workers and shopkeepers and traders and entrepreneurs, actors and entertainers and laborers and cattlemen and well drillers and miners and entrepreneurs and traders and book builders, and on it goes, boys and girls. I mean, there are thousands of these common law occupations, and each and every one of them is producing something. Something that you and I buy, sell, trade, need, use, consume, enjoy. Even the actor who makes a movie or acts on the stage is a producer in the society. He doesn't need a license. He doesn't need the profession. He doesn't need a four-year stint in college in order to teach him how to be an actor. And yet, he provides entertainment, and we like what he provides, and we're willing to pay him to entertain us, like Clint Eastwood and the Million Dollar Baby. Clint Eastwood produced something that we, or at least some of us, wanted to buy. Now, that's not to say that we don't want to buy the services of doctors and lawyers. My point is, we could live forever without a doctor. In fact, God Almighty himself told us that we could live forever. Our problem is we decided we were going to live forever in a way that violated some laws that produces death, disease, sickness, plague, AIDS, herpes, gonorrhea. And because of that, we now have to have doctors to give us sulfa drugs and penicillin to cure the gonorrhea and the syphilis and the AIDS that we get down at Flo's Whorehouse. But if we would think for a moment, why do we want to go down to Flo's and get AIDS, herpes, and VD so that we can go to the doctor and pay him to cure those diseases that we could have avoided by simply not breaking the law to start with? Now, these professions, let's think about these professions for a moment. Let's see, could we live without them? Think about it. Lawyers. We've had lawyers for a long time. They're mentioned in the Bible. In Luke 11, verses 37 through 54, Jesus mentioned lawyers. And he called them everything but perverts. I mean, he called them everything but white men. He never had a good word for a lawyer. He called them hypocrites and thieves and one thing and another. And he said that they were wicked and evil and that they were bad. And there's an old adage that says, you know, if we didn't have bad people, we wouldn't have good lawyers. And the reason that we need lawyers is because a lot of us are bad people. You know, if everybody obeyed all of the laws all of the time, do you know what would happen in our society? It would collapse overnight. I mean, if 280 million Americans obeyed all the laws of all of the states on all of our federal laws and did it tomorrow morning, do you know that by the end of the day, the entire economy would collapse? There would be no new customers going into the law enforcement growth industry. No new prisoners going into the prisons. No business for the lawyers. No need for judges. No use for legal secretaries. No purpose for policemen. No need for the FBI. That would spell instant economic collapse. Boys and girls, we need crime in America to maintain our society, to maintain our economy. These lawyers, as professionals in the American society, are as needed and as necessary in today's modern economy as the soldiers that are fighting to steal the oil from the Iraqis. We've reached peak oil, and we have to get the oil from someplace. And if we don't take it from the Iraqis, we'll have to take it from the Saudis, or the Venezuelans, or from somebody else. We have to have it, and we don't have it. It's just that simple. You have to have doctors in modern American society because we have so much sickness and disease. And as long as we're going to insist upon violating these 18 health laws, we're going to have sickness. But let's suppose that everybody in America tomorrow obeyed all of God's health laws, all 18 of them. Do you know what would happen to American society? It would collapse. Did you know that 15% of the American economy is derived from medicine? Think what would happen to the stock market if everybody in America obeyed all of the laws of God, all of the just the health laws. I mean, you can break all the rest of the laws. Just obey just the 18 health laws and eliminate sickness, disease, and plague. What would we do with all the hospital beds? What would the doctors do? If you don't have sickness and disease, boys and girls, I mean, you know, it wouldn't collapse overnight. We'd still have diabetics, but we wouldn't have any new ones. And we have to have new diabetics coming in to take the place of the old diabetics that are dying. We have to have new disease and new diseases coming along constantly to justify the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. Without disease, they'd all be unemployed. Now, you take 15% out of the American economy over the next year, my God, it would collapse. I know it's a wild new concept, but think of it. Now, we have professionals in our society like lawyers and preachers, bankers, doctors. Did you know that Jesus wasn't a licensed professional? In fact, he was asked one time, they ridiculed him, made fun of him, and said, who is this guy having no letters? Jesus didn't have any letters. Here he was out here preaching and teaching the law of God, and he hadn't been to seminary. He wasn't licensed by the state. What in the world could he know about the Bible? Or about God, or about law? We have bankers and doctors, and we have corporate businessmen and psychiatrists and psychologists, engineers and professors, high school teachers and grade school teachers. Can you imagine what would happen in America if everybody in America followed the education laws that God gave us, and everybody educated his or her children in their own home? Homeschool is the methodology that is prescribed by God. The curriculum that you start your children on in the homeschool is the Bible. You've got no more argument over separation of church and state in the schools. There's no more murders going on in the public schools. No more Columbine High School. And all of these millions of teachers all become unemployed. Yeah, all of them. Of course, most of them have children of their own. They can stay home and educate their children, and they can go out and they can go to work in the common law occupations, and they can become productive members of society. I mean, people that are actually producing things like lumber and houses and food and fiber and producing all of those things that people really need and ought to indulge in. And you know what would happen to the academic performance? Just based upon today's statistics, instead of your children scoring on average in America in your public schools at the 50th percentile, they would all average the 86th percentile. They'd be 60% smarter. And instead of spending $6,300 a year to educate your child in the public school, I think it's up to $7,500 now, it would only cost you about $546 a year to educate each child in your home school. It would be less than 10%. You could eliminate all of the billions and billions of dollars that go into education every year. You could just eliminate all those billions of dollars going into education. Just put that money in your pocket and go out and spend it in some other way. We don't need all those teachers. Of course, the economy would collapse because the economy is dependent upon all these teachers who are constantly trying to convince you that you need to educate your children in the public schools and send them through the educational system to become professionals. They need to go to college. And the educational system feeds upon itself. The teachers who are themselves professionals want to teach your children to become professionals, because if they don't, and if those children don't go to college, then the professors won't have anybody to teach. And without professors in college to teach your children to become professionals, your children won't become teachers and professionals. In which case, the whole professional industry would collapse, wouldn't it? So God forbid that we should abolish public schools and colleges and but if we continue on and we continue to exacerbate our problem by creating more and more professionals and fewer loggers and lumberjacks and people that actually produce the food and fiber and things that we use and enjoy, then our standard of living will continue to go down. And it's been going down because since 1973, Americans, you have not had a real standard of living increase. You're receiving more and more dollars, but your standard of living has not increased since 1973. And in most of your cases, it's going down, and the way you're maintaining it is through more and more credit card debt and more imports. That's coming to an end shortly. And then you're going to find out that you've been producing less than you consumed over the last 40 years, and it's going to come back and bite you. Now, you know the police have a thing going called the law enforcement growth industry. Here's the way it works. In Boise, Idaho, back in the 1980s, they had 168 policemen in the city of Boise. I'll bet you people have 300 or 400 policemen in the city of Boise today. But I remember Jim Montgomery went down to the city council and he presented a budget proposal to the city council. He said, crime increased in the city of Boise by 5% last year, and we have 168 policemen and so many police cars, and we need a 5% increase in our budget, a 5% increase in patrolmen on the street, and 5% more police cars. And the city council said, well, if crime increased by 5%, then we need to raise taxes by 5% so that we can hire 8 more policemen. That's 5% more police, so that we can buy 5% more police cars, so that we can combat this 5% rise in crime. And so the city council did that. Chief Montgomery hired 8 new policemen, bought several new police cars, and the city raised taxes 5% in the city of Boise so that they could finance all of this. And do you know what happened the very next year? Crime increased by 5%. Well, the reason the crime increased by 5% is because those 8 new policemen out there on the street represented 5% more policemen, so they were out making 5% more arrests. They were out here giving 5% more tickets. And sure enough, crime increased by 5%. Chief Montgomery went down and he said, you know, crime increased by 5% last year. And what we need is 5% more policemen, 5% more taxes, 5% more police cars, and he got 5% more. And crime grows everywhere in America by 5% every year because that's what we Americans want to buy. We want to buy 5% more crime because that's what our police departments, that's what our professionals, that's what our professional criminologists are selling. They're selling more crime and we're buying more of it. Did it ever occur to us that maybe we don't want 5% higher taxes? Maybe we don't want 5% more policemen? We don't want 5% more crime next year? I know it's a wild new concept, but mull it over a little bit. You do the same thing with medicine. They tell us that we need more doctors to combat more sickness and disease. And we have more and more heart disease, and we have more and more cancer. In fact, in 1900, the cancer rate was one person in 33 would expect to get cancer in his lifetime. Today, it's one person in two is going to get cancer in his lifetime. Cancer has multiplied dramatically. But then, so has the number of doctors, and so has the number of hospitals, and the number of oncologists, and that's what they're selling us. They're selling us more and more cancer. They sell us more and more cigarettes. We smoke more. They sell us more and more air pollution. We drive more, create more air pollution, breathe more. And of course, we're consuming all kinds of chemicals and toxins in our environment. 87,000 chemicals now being produced in the United States every year. And all of these chemicals, you know, add to this toxic brew. And of course, that all comes from the professionals, these chemists and scientists that produce these miracle wonder chemicals that we just can't live without. You know, like fluoride for our water and chlorine in our water supplies. I mean, we just can't live without that, now, can we? Well, I'm about out of time, boys and girls. We're going to have to cut it off here, but I want you to keep in mind that we'll be talking about the professionals this week and the professions. Kind of a wild new concept, isn't it? Anybody ever broached this subject before? You ever stop to think about professionals and how much do they produce and how much do they consume? The professionals consume, just like you and I do. And how much meat, milk, butter, eggs do doctors, lawyers, pharmacists produce for the society? The garbage man, he's producing something. He does a useful, productive service. All of the professions combined work together to deteriorate the production, consume more, and produce less in a criminal environment. Well, you've been listening to The Law Hour and the Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's the signal. Says time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.